This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM80, all of our great ESPN stations across the country. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty. I am Evan Cohen. He is Steph Diggs. He is a member of the Houston Texans, and he was traded from the Buffalo Bills, where they are going to take on a $31 million dead cap hit this season. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, my neighbors. How much money did you say?
31.
$31 million in dead money?
Actually, let me be correct, CeCe. 31.096, because that 096 is going to matter, I'm sure. But yes, 31 plus million.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's not a rounding error, Evan. That's a significant amount of money. I mean, that's a hell of a way to go addition by subtraction, no? My goodness. I mean, that's a bold move, bold strategy, Cotton, by Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills. But it's clear that Steph Diggs being moved confirms that there was a rift between Steph, Josh Allen, and the Buffalo Bills organization over the last couple of years, which undermined what the Buffalo Bills could be overall. And so it's not a surprise that this move would happen. We all speculated about it for the last couple of all seasons, and that speculation and all of the grumblings that we'd heard coming out of the Buffalo, the cryptic tweets from Steph Diggs, all of those things confirmed yesterday with this decision to trade him that there was a problem in Buffalo.
Absolutely. We had been hearing about the tension there for quite some time between Steph Diggs and Josh Allen and just his discontent perhaps in Buffalo. And this move not only confirms it, but the fact that they are willing to eat $31 million in order to get rid of a guy who's been very productive in his career and who, since his arrival in Buffalo, has made their franchise quarterback better, been that reliable weapon for Josh Allen. This tells you a lot about the state of what was happening in Buffalo, and I absolutely love this move for the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. They are not going to waste C.J. Stroud's rookie contract. The moves that they've made this offseason to continue to build the team around him have been so shrewd. And I love how the Houston Texans, in what, a year and change, have gone from a hot mess to a destination. A dumpster fire to a destination.
Wow.
Well, I think this is a rare move, guys, where both teams are telling you how much they believe in their quarterback. I don't think you have a lot of trade. First of all, you don't have a lot of trades in the NFL. Second of all, you don't have a lot of trades where both teams are telling you, we believe in our quarterback to such an extent that we have to make this move. Let's start on the Buffalo side, and we'll get to the Texans side. The reason that the Buffalo Bills believe in their quarterback the way that they do is because they just traded away a guy that is a $31 million cap hit, let's be honest, because they think it's going to make their quarterback better. We have been unbelievably critical of Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. I have been as well, you know, as part of that, so I got to own that too. I love this move for Buffalo. I absolutely love it for Buffalo. I think Steph Diggs is more of an issue than people actually let on, and I'm nervous about it from a Texans perspective. If you look at the Buffalo Bills last year, they were 7-2 in games that he was targeted 10 or less times. They were 4-4 where he was targeted 10 or more times. There were, CeCe just mentioned it, there has been clearly some sort of issue between Josh Allen and Steph Diggs. The thing that they better get right about this is that they better be right that Josh Allen is as good as they think he is. That's where I differ with them, but the idea of addition by subtraction, I'm sorry, Steph Diggs, I believe that that is an addition by subtraction for the Buffalo Bills this year.
Well, here's the thing, and I'll say this, Evan, when it comes to Steph Diggs' impact, it goes beyond just the numbers, the target share, all of those different things. He is a player that dictates front and coverage. What I mean by that is this: the defense is forced to account for him with two guys, right? You got to have a cornerback, but you got to make sure that there's a safety over top of him. You got to roll coverage towards Steph Diggs. So what that allows the offense to do is to exploit other areas of the formation, right? The run game that we saw get on track when they switched offensive coordinators and went from Ken Dorsey to Joe Brady. Well, they're able to do that because they're running against light boxes. They're running against 6 and 7 man fronts as opposed to be running against 8 or 9 man fronts if you don't have the threat of Steph Diggs out there on the field. And so that is my big concern about what the Buffalo Bills are going to be moving forward. We saw them lean into that identity of running the football more, trying to limit the opportunity for turnover-worthy plays from Josh Allen, and that paid dividends. We saw it. They came close to knocking off the Kansas City Chiefs in the divisional round. I guess my only question is, how do you replace that now? Mm-hmm. But you added Curtis Samuel. He's not a guy that dictates front coverage. Khalil Shakir, we'll see what he develops into. You drafted Dalton Kincaid in the first round last year. I just don't see that threat on the roster right now, which is why I think this move put Josh Allen squarely in the crosshairs. Everybody that defends Josh Allen and calls him an elite quarterback, says he's a top five player at the position. Well, guess what? We're about to find out.
Agreed.
With a player whose cap hit damn near triples in 2024 from what it was in 2023. When you look at the overhaul that they're going through on the defensive side of the ball, stalwarts that they were forced to move off from, Jordan Poyer, Trey White, players of that ilk. Like, this is going to be on Josh Allen to overcome the obvious, you know, talent drain when it comes to losing a player of Steph Diggs' caliber. I mean, we are talking about a receiver that has the third most catches through the first nine seasons of their career in NFL history. I mean, the players in front of him, Marvin Harrison and Antonio Brown, and that's the list. That's how productive this dude is. He's got five seasons, over 100 catches. He's got six straight 1,000-yard receiving seasons. Like, that is a tremendous talent that you're losing. So it is going to be up to Josh Allen to become more of a force multiplier to help them overcome that. Now, as far as what Vegas thinks about it, the odds for the Buffalo Bills to win the Super Bowl didn't change dramatically. They went from 12-1 to 13-1, right? So, I mean, it didn't change dramatically. They are still, I believe it, to be the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl of any team in the NFL, right? They're behind the 49ers, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Lions. So, I mean, I don't think it's something that's impossible, but I do think it's going to highlight the type of player Josh Allen is. This becomes a referendum season on Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. We don't have any proof of concept that Josh Allen is a good quarterback without Stephon Diggs. We finna find out.
We are. And for our show, who all last season kept preaching, Josh Allen is at his best when you ask him to do less. I don't know how this is going to be a positive step for him, removing a guy who you said six consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. I know he regressed a bit last year from a production standpoint, but he's still, what, a top 15, top 10 receiver in the league? I don't know how you are going to be able to ask Josh Allen to do less when you remove a weapon like Stephon Diggs from the equation. It might be a more peaceful environment, but I don't know if it'll be a more productive one.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't think he's top 10. I don't think he's top 15. I think that Josh Allen could do the same things without him that he did with him. I'm not sold on Josh Allen. I love what you said, CeCe, about those who put him top of the NFL food chain. You can't now use the excuse, if he doesn't have a good season, well, he didn't have Steph Diggs. They don't have Steph Diggs because the assumption is he doesn't want Steph Diggs, right? So now it's a level of comfort that you're looking at and you're saying, we are doing this for you, Josh. So Hembo, Greeny, all the people out there that love Josh Allen, if Josh Allen does not do well, if the referendum is, as CeCe said this year, and it's below what the averages are, you cannot use the Steph Diggs thing as an excuse, right? Like, that can't happen because this move is made for Josh Allen, not against Josh Allen.
I'm completely with you, Ev, and Brandon, being the general manager of the Bills, said as much, right? He said he's in pretty close communication with Josh Allen, and he hasn't talked to Josh after the move. But the assumption or what's implied or intimated is that he did talk to Josh before the move, and he said that this is not something that's off the table, which leads us to believe that Josh Allen signed off on this.
No doubt.
Allen signed off on this, mm-hmm. then it's fair that we're framing the conversation around the trade for Steph Diggs in the way that we are, meaning more pressure on Josh Allen, more ownership of what the Buffalo Bills are moving forward on Josh Allen. So that's the state of affairs. Like, the Buffalo Bills, if they think that Josh Allen is a franchise quarterback, if they believe that he is truly elite, that is the only way that they can make this type of move. But here's the thing. He's got to go out there and prove it. In 2024, there can't be any regression in the program. This is a team that should still win the AFC East when you look at the landscape of that division. They should still be poised to go on a deep playoff run. Losing a number one receiver shouldn't impact the Buffalo Bills adversely in that way, in terms of compromising their ability to compete for a championship. I mean, we didn't see that with Patrick Mahomes when the Kansas City Chiefs got rid of Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson has only had one 1,000-yard receiver since he got there in 2018. And he's got the second-best win percentage of any quarterback since that time, only to Patrick Mahomes. So, like, if you're truly an elite quarterback, losing Steph Diggs with the organization deciding to trade him, it shouldn't impact your team's overall success in the regular season or what you're projected to do once we get to the playoffs.
I could not agree more. I could not agree more. I am more excited about Josh Allen today than I've ever been. That's how I feel. I'm more excited about him today because it's his team. There's no interference. We're going to have a final answer on Josh Allen. There's no having to worry about if Steph Diggs getting the ball. And I would be way more excited if I'm a Bills fan about the concept of a bunch of prove-it deals at wide receiver. Odell Beckham Jr., Michael Gallup, Tyler Boyd, Michael Thomas. You know, any of these guys that are available right now, plus a young rookie receiver on a controllable contract maybe in the second round, I would feel better about my receivers today if I'm the Bills fan than I did yesterday. As crazy as that may sound, Steph Diggs, Josh Allen may have worked to some extent, but it didn't work to the extent that you're supposed to have it work towards, which is winning a championship. I feel better about this today than I did yesterday if I'm a Bills fan, guys. I really do.
Right, but it didn't result in a championship, but they've had a lot of playoff success. I mean, don't forget, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs are their biggest obstacle. Yeah. So it's hard for anybody really in the AFC to be able to break through. But I think we're going to learn a lot about Josh Allen, and I also think we're going to learn a lot about Steph Diggs because there has obviously been tension in Buffalo, but this is a guy who wants to get his catches. He wants to make sure that he has a certain level of production. And when he goes to Houston, he's going to have a lot of competition there as far as other people who are going to want the ball as well. And I'm interested to see how he folds into that environment and what version of Steph Diggs we're going to see in Houston.
Well, perfect tease there, Smalls, because we will get to the Houston part of it and C.J. Stroud getting a big-name wide receiver in Steph Diggs yesterday. That will do coming up on Sportsmanlike. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit Progressive.com for more. We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, Stephen A., that is what we're going to do, is take a look at the C.J. Stroud part of this with the Houston Texans. We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. So the Texans give up a 2025 second-round pick. They get in return Steph Diggs. They add to an offseason that includes Steph Diggs and Joe Mixon, amongst others, Danielle Hunter on the defensive side of things. So, guys, do we like this from the Texans' point of view, acquiring Steph Diggs to add to Nico Collins and Tank Dell and company in Houston?
How could you not like this move? Steph Diggs is a proven commodity in this league, and the Houston Texans are not wasting what C.J. Stroud was in his rookie campaign. I think that they have been so incredibly smart about the way that they have built this team, and the fact that they went out there and they got somebody who, like I said, is a proven commodity to add to the list of weapons that they already have. They're trying to make sure that they are better this year than they were last year, and that they don't waste C.J. Stroud's rookie contract. I love this move for Houston. Houston.
Yeah, I love the move too. It's what you're supposed to do. They went out and they got a player that already has a contract where he's locked in, so they don't have to give up any money in terms of signing bonus or things of that nature. It's a reasonable number in terms of what they're going to be paying Steph Diggs moving forward. So I like the move from that perspective. But this is a situation now where the Houston Texans are saying we have a 2-year window where we don't have to pay C.J. Stroud the going rate for quarterbacks. They are trying to make a push to get to a Super Bowl and capitalize on that opportunity. So with this move and having a bona fide number one wide receiver and considering everything that they've done all over the roster, upgrading their front seven in free agency, retaining Dalton Schultz, going out and trading for Joe Mixon, I think that the Houston Texans are on the short list of teams that can be a true challenger to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC. There ain't a lot of teams. Right? It's a short list of teams, and we realize what kind of task that is. We know how difficult, you know, it's been for other teams since Patrick Mahomes arrived in the AFC. But I do think that the Texans have what it takes. I would put them right there with the Baltimore Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals. I think it's three teams that can challenge the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Houston Texans have now added their names on that list. So they are the third team. That's how bullish I am on what Steph Diggs makes that Houston offense and what that makes that team overall. I think they are the presumptive favorite to win the AFC South.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that the Jacksonville Jaguars have been being aggressive this offseason, but no, I think it's the Houston Texans. And because C.J. Stroud showed the promise that he did in his rookie year, because he won a playoff game, this makes this the opportune time to do it. Now, I'm not going to say it doesn't come along with any risk, because we saw how it ended for Steph Diggs in Minnesota. We're seeing now how it ended for Steph Diggs in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. This guy has shown himself to be a malcontent. There is some pressure on Steph Diggs' side and for Nick Caserio, the general manager of the Houston Texans, to make this relationship work. Because if it doesn't work out, the common denominator ends up being Steph Diggs. And he's probably already been labeled a diva. But if it doesn't work out here with the Texans, all of a sudden it goes to Antonio Brown territory. You all of a sudden become radioactive. You all of a sudden become a player that is bad for business. Because if you couldn't make it work in Minnesota with Kirk Cousins, you couldn't make it work in Buffalo with Josh Allen, if you couldn't make it work in Houston with C.J. Stroud, then when will you ever make it work? When will having you on a team ever translate to the team overall having the kind of success that they're looking for?
And a small sample size, but also you couldn't make it work with D'Amico Ryans, who a lot of people have said is very good at managing players and managing personalities. So that's another reason why I think going there might be a fresh start for Steph Diggs and a good reset for him. But I do think you're absolutely right, CeCe. If he is unhappy there or follows the same pattern that he did in Buffalo and Minnesota, we are going to change the way we talk about Steph Diggs and view him. This is an opportunity for the Houston Texans to get better, and it's an opportunity for Steph Diggs to prove something.
You know, Smalls, you started this by saying, how can you not like this for the Houston Texans? Well, I'll tell you, I hate it for the Houston Texans.
Why?
I hate it for the Houston Texans. Steph Diggs, CC started alluding to this. Steph Diggs won 48 games in 4 years in Buffalo and wasn't happy. 48 games, 4 years, got a contract extension, wasn't happy. Wasn't happy at the end of Minnesota, right? And C.J. Stroud, to me, is an anomaly. It is very rare that you find someone that young at that position who not only can play football, but lead an entire team to get better. He has a Steph Curry-like quality, it seems like, where his energy is infectious around the entirety of the team. It's why Chris Canty put him number one on his draft board a year ago over Bryce Young and over anyone else, and he was right about that. Anyone that could disrupt the day-to-day of that, I would be cautious of if I'm the Houston Texans. And Steph Diggs, to CeCe's point, has proven to disrupt that day-to-day. So you say, okay, well, where else could they have gone? Well, they were in the mix for Keenan Allen. I would rather have Keenan Allen, even if it meant an overpay, because that guy seems like he's more – I mean, he shows up to Caleb Williams' pro day, right? I don't want to go all draft day, Bo Callahan, they're at the birthday party kind of thing, but, like, I was impressed by that. T. Higgins in Cincinnati seems like a guy that you would rather have on your team on the way up. I'm not even sure that Steph Diggs is on the way up. He may be on the way down. Maybe he has 1 year, kind of a pop, hey, I'm going to be here, I'm going to do everything right. But Steph Diggs has not been as great as everyone thinks he's been over the last couple of years. I'm sorry. I would rather other guys. I don't like this move at all for the Texans.
Well, you cannot like the personality. I don't think you can knock the production, though.
Correct.
Like, like you're saying that he might not be on the way up. He might be on the way down. I don't see that based in the numbers. Like, Steph Diggs had 107 catches last year, almost 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns. Like I mean, for $19 million and a guy that's healthy and plays in every single game, like, to me, having that matters. That's probably why I'd lean in that direction over Keenan Allen. Now, the T. Higgins and the Brandon Ayuk of it all is fascinating. Mm-hmm. I would be led to believe that the asking price might have been too high. That's why the Houston Texans don't go down that road, considering what they would have had to give those respective teams in the way of draft picks to compensate them, but also what they would have to pay the player. You got to pay Steph Diggs $19 million this year when the going rate for top-notch receivers is, you know, $25 million and up. Tyreek Hill is making $30 million a year. CeeDee Lamb will be making $30 million a year. You're getting similar production, not the same, but similar production, similar impact for $19 million in cash. Like, to me, that's a great move by the Houston Texans. I think it's absolutely phenomenal by Nick Caserio to do that. It's just a matter of making sure that your locker room is in a position to absorb that type of personality, because we know Steph Diggs is an alpha. We absolutely know that. But I guess the thing that would give me confidence that this organization can handle somebody like Steph Diggs is seeing what D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud had to overcome based on the track record that the Texans franchise has had. Think about what they did, one-and-done coaches with Dave Culley and Lovie Smith and the Deshaun Watson saga and how that ended. That was one of the most dysfunctional franchises in all of football. And in year one, C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans, both rookies in their respective roles, come out and get this thing turned around so much as to win the division and to ultimately win a playoff game. I would give them the benefit of the doubt because of everything that they've had to overcome, that they will be able to manage the Steph Diggs of it all and get the best version of him and be able to harness that ability and have that translate to success. I'm acknowledging that we have to see it, but I would give them the benefit of the doubt that they can get the best out of Stephon Diggs without any of the baggage that plagued him in Minnesota or Buffalo.
I'm so with you, CC, because not only is it a more cost-effective option for high-level production, but also if I'm Houston, I'm going to Steph Diggs and I'm saying, there's this perception of you that you're sometimes a selfish player or that you can't blend into the team and that you are a bit of a diva. This is your opportunity to come to Houston, a place that is on the come up, a place that has all of a sudden become a destination and a place that all of a sudden is a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
And you can prove everyone different. You can be a part of what we're doing here.
I agree with you. And one thing that should not be understated is the difference in the culture that will be in Houston, in that locker room, in that building with D'Amico Ryans and with C.J. Stroud as your quarterback, as opposed to what we saw with Sean McDermott and Josh Allen in Buffalo, with Kirk Cousins and Mike Zimmer in Minnesota. Like, there will be a difference in terms of how those two, the head coach and the quarterback, relate to Steph Diggs relative to other places that Steph Diggs has been to. And I think that matters in terms of being able to have clear lines of communication, transparency, and everybody being on the same page. Mm-hmm.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Which side of the deal do you like better, the Bills side or the Texans side? Plus, Canty's mock draft coming up. But first, this from Granger with CeCe.
For the ones who get it done, like Nick Caserio in that Texans front office, Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger for the ones who get it done. For the ones who get it done, Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You've heard from Mel Kiper. You've heard from Mike Tannenbaum. And you've heard from Field Yates. But now it's time to hear from our resident Super Bowl champion. Here is Chris Canty's Mock Draft 1.0.
Yes! Mock Draft 1.0 from CeCe at Unsports ESPN. You will get the mock draft. We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. We're going to get your phone calls in on the Steph Diggs trade at 888-SAY-ESPN. But CeCe, you released your mock draft. And here we go, some takeaways. So let's just go through this. We have Caleb Williams, number one overall to the Bears. Bold prediction.
I haven't heard that one yet.
Right?
Wow. How did you come up with that? Number two overall, you went against Brian Kelly of LSU, and you put Drake May, your guy, to Washington. Why?
I just like the fit. Drake May, in terms of the overall stature, the movement skills, and then the offense that he's coming out of, it's very similar to the offense that Cliff Kingsbury runs, more of an air raid style. So I just think that is a good mesh of styles. And here's the thing, I like the football acumen of Drake May, the way he thinks the game. Phillip Rivers is one of his mentors, and then of course he was coached by Josh McCown in high school. I just you look at the family, they're very athletic. The pedigree. I just think the things that Drake May does, it's hard to teach, and the things that he needs to be able to improve on, I think the people in Washington can clean some of that stuff up, like with the footwork and stuff. But I really like the talent of Drake May. Again, I said this before, I'll say it again. He's the quarterback that I'm most confident in that won't go bust in the NFL.
Yeah, you've been very high on Drake May for a while now, and I love that you slotted him there at number two going to Washington, because most people have that Jaden Daniels play to Washington almost in Sharpie. So I love that you have something different, CeCe.
Number three overall, if May goes two, that means Jaden Daniels goes three. But where does he go? Not to New England. He goes to Minnesota. CeCe has the Vikings getting the number three overall pick. The Patriots getting number 11 overall, number 23 overall, a 24 fourth round pick, that's 129 overall, and a 25 third round pick. CeCe, walk us through your thought process here. Jaden Daniels to the Vikings. Patriots trading out of number three. And then, by the way, I should mention, at 11 and 23, not taking a quarterback. Offensive line and wide receiver at those two spots in CeCe's mock.
Yeah, I don't think Minnesota made all of these moves over the last several weeks to be in the J.J. McCarthy business. I think they're big game hunting, and they want one of these elite quarterback prospects. And I'm not sure that Jaden Daniels is the guy that Elliott Wolf and Gerard Mayo have in mind in terms of bringing them to Foxborough. So I just feel like this is a natural opportunity for the Patriots to trade out, acquire more draft capital, and for the Minnesota Vikings to nab their guy. They've told us, like, they didn't pay Kirk Cousins. They added that extra first-round draft pick by doing the dance with the Houston Texans. I just think this is a situation now where this team is poised to make a big leap, and I think they get to the top three rather than taking a risk and only trading up to number four or number five and being at the mercy of what the teams in front of them do. So I think they are going for that number three overall pick. And if the board falls the way that I anticipated falling, then I think that they make that move to number three.
I love this. This one is spicy on both sides because we talked about it yesterday, how well set up Minnesota is for whichever quarterback comes into that spot eventually, whichever, assumingly, rookie quarterback. And to be able to have the capital to go up and get the quarterback that you think is the perfect fit for you, Minnesota can do that. Now, conversely, even though New England needs a quarterback, they're not in the same space that the Minnesota Vikings are.
No.
They do not have the personnel needed to really put that quarterback in a position to grow effectively. So I really like this move on both sides.
All right, Canty's mock draft. It'll be available at Unsports ESPN and all of our social media. So if we have Williams, May, and Daniels 1, 2, 3, as we expect, order obviously to be determined, where does the fourth quarterback go? That's been the biggest question of the draft, and who is that fourth quarterback? Well, Chris Canty has that fourth quarterback as J.J. McCarthy going 9. You're saying to yourself, what? The Bears are going to draft Caleb Williams and J.J. McCarthy? Well, to steal from Lee Corso, not so fast, my friends, because CC has Denver then trading up. Woo. They get number 9 overall. The Bears then get number 12, a 24 fifth-round pick, number 136 overall, and a 25 third-round pick. Your old buddy Sean Payton, you were with in Dallas. Why does he make that move for J.J. McCarthy?
Well, he's already made a bold move at the quarterback spot when you decide to eat $85 million in dead money from the Russell Wilson contract. He's got to have to get his guy, and I think J.J. McCarthy fits the bill in terms of the athleticism and the arm talent. Now, his accuracy on throws outside of the numbers and down the field have to improve. But here's the thing, in Sean Payton's offense, it's rhythm, it's timing, it's hitting your back foot, and there are a lot of throws in between the numbers, you know, talking about in those short to intermediate routes. And so I think that's an area that we actually saw J.J. McCarthy excel at in Michigan. So I think you have proof of concept in terms of doing the things that Sean Payton would want you to do in his offense. And so I think he's going to have to find a way to get his guy. And again, with their salary cap constraints, the only way to move your program, to move your team forward, is to get a quarterback or at controllable cost that can be a difference maker. I think J.J. McCarthy offers them that opportunity. Now, why would you ask to move up into the top 10 in front of the Jets? Well, it's not necessarily about being in front of the Jets. It's making sure that you're in front of the New England Patriots, who slid back to 11, making sure that you get in front of them, and then making sure that the Las Vegas Raiders, who are also in the business of trying to find a quarterback, don't jump in front of you and get your guy. So I think that the Denver Broncos at 12 make the move with the Chicago Bears. And if you're Chicago, you're thinking to yourself, the teams that are behind you might not necessarily be in the wide receiver business, and that's the position that you would be targeting. So I think it just makes sense for both sides. Chicago picks up a little bit of extra draft capital, which they need, because in day 2, they don't have as much draft picks. So I think it makes a lot of sense for them to do that trade.
Yeah, I could see this being a good deal for all parties involved, including J.J. McCarthy and Sean Payton, because Sean Payton needs to get his guy. It's almost as if the Denver Broncos are really starting from scratch after they moved on from Russell Wilson. And I could see him looking at J.J. McCarthy, who was coached by Jim Harbaugh, a quarterback's guy, and really looking at his skill set and how malleable he was for Harbaugh, and thinking, I can work with what I saw J.J. McCarthy do at Michigan, and I can help mold him into the quarterback I need him to be. And for J.J. McCarthy to go with an offensive mind like Sean Payton, I think that could be a good marriage for both of them.
All right, so we've got 4 quarterbacks off the board. Canty's Mock Draft 1.0. It'll be available at Unsports ESPN. So you're waiting. Is there another quarterback that Canty's going to have in the first round? Well, if you listen to our show, thank you. And you'll also know that Chris Canty has been high on one quarterback that not everyone is saying is going to go as high as CeCe is going to say he's going to go. And where is he going to put him? Oh, I don't know, with his former teammate that he loves. Number 13 overall, Michael Penix Jr., your guy, with your other guy, Antonio Pierce, in Vegas. Is this just a Canty can't lose kind of scenario? What is this now with Penix to the Raiders?
No, I mean, listen, we had Phil Yates on earlier this week, and he talked about it a little bit with his mock draft about how Michael Penix Jr. is a fast riser. Also, Adam Schefter talked about it a little bit, how a lot of people are looking at that number 13 pick as a place where Michael Penix Jr. could go. If they want to get Penix Jr., that's probably where you would have to get to. I think he's going to be a first-round pick. And if you're the Las Vegas Raiders, how can you pass on what he's been able to show, not just in his football career, being able to thrive at Indiana in the Big Ten, being able to thrive at Washington in the Pac-12, getting that school, getting that program to the college football playoff national championship game, but also what we've seen in the pre-draft process. This guy's ability to throw at the combine, willing to compete when other top-tier quarterbacks wouldn't, his ability to show off his athleticism at his pro day, running a sub-4.640. I just think that there's too much on tape to like about Michael Penix Jr., and if you're comfortable with the medical, then this is a guy that can develop into a perennial Pro Bowl player. And especially when you consider the division that you're playing in the AFC West with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, now that he has Jim Harbaugh, you're going to have to make a significant move to upgrade the talent in your quarterback room.
Also, with Antonio Pierce becoming the full-time coach with the Raiders, he's bringing back that Raiders toughness and that identity. And I can absolutely see Michael Penix Jr., who's overcome adversity before, really fitting into the culture that Antonio Pierce is building there.
CeCe, we got about 30 seconds. Anything else from the mock that you want to highlight? Those are the quarterbacks, obviously, off the board that people need to know about before they check it out on social media at UnsportsESPN.
Yeah, I got the Pittsburgh Steelers taking a wide receiver in the first round, which they never do. The last time they did that was 2006. San Antonio Holmes, how'd that work out? Super Bowl MVP.
Pretty good.
Like, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be in the wide receiver business early on in this draft. They're going to do what the Chicago Bears didn't do for Justin Fields. They're going to put weapons around him. I mean, they're going to need that guy opposite of George Pickens. That offense is on the up. And with their new offensive coordinator, I think they get him a shiny new toy. Brian Thomas Jr. ends up being their guy.
We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You think losing to the Grizzlies after losing to the Wizards is a bad back-to-back for the Bucks? 111-101. I guess Doc Rivers cannot blame the flight attendants, the travel people, whatever he said, for when they play on the road that were just not professional on the road, because this one was at home in Milwaukee last night. They lose back-to-back games against Memphis and against Washington. And breaking news, neither of those teams, very good. Are we concerned now about the Bucks not only maybe not making it to the finals, but dare I say losing in the first round, guys?
Yes, I said this yesterday when we had to pick our NBA teams that we thought would have an early playoff exit. I picked the Milwaukee Bucks. At this point in the season, we shouldn't be talking about them going on the road and not having professionalism. We shouldn't have Doc Rivers, their head coach, publicly throwing them under the bus like that. At this stage of the game, you would expect to see different improvements from them defensively that they still have not been able to produce. The fact that they went out and had these two losses at this stage in the season, I don't know, guys. It doesn't feel like the Milwaukee Bucks are clicking the way that they need to. It doesn't feel like they're going to have the momentum needed to really push them through in the playoffs. I would not be shocked at all if they had an early exit despite having so much talent.
The Milwaukee Bucks got outscored by Memphis 76-36 in the paint. 76-36 in the paint. You got outscored by 40 points in the paint last night. That is absolutely atrocious. So you give up 70 points in the paint to the Wizards the night before. Second night of a back-to-back, you give up 76? I don't give a damn that Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton were out last night. There's no excuse for being that bad on the defensive end when you just giving up layups and dunks. That is an embarrassment. That's on Doc Rivers, the coach. Everybody told me a month ago that the defensive woes for the Milwaukee Bucks were fixed. And yet, here we are, this team has lost four of their last five, and they got teams that are right behind them breathing down their necks when it comes to what's going to happen in the Eastern Conference playoffs for that second seed. Like, I mean, I'm just sitting, the Cavs are right there, the Orlando Magic are right there, the New York Knicks are right there. I mean, all of those teams are within three games of the Milwaukee Bucks, and when you look at their remaining schedule, they got one gimme game, although I don't know how you could say any game is a gimme game after they lost back-to-back games to the Wiz and the Grizzlies. But they got one gimme game coming up against the Toronto Raptors on Friday. Then they got the New York Knicks, the Boston Celtics, the Orlando Magic, on the road against OKC, and then on the road against Orlando Magic to end the season. Like the number two seed in the Eastern Conference could come down to their regular season finale. And why would I have any confidence that the Bucks are going to be on the right side of that? They are a 500 basketball team with Doc Rivers as their head coach. Come to find out, Adrian Griffin, the former head coach, he wasn't the problem. They were 30-13 when he was the guy. So, I mean, why would we have any confidence in what this Milwaukee team can do once we get to the second season?
Well, do they really have any gimme games left? Because even without Dame, Middleton, and Pat Bev last night, they were still favored by 12.5. They were favored by 12 points back-to-back days, and they lost both games.
Yeah.
So can we really say any game moving forward is a gimme game for Milwaukee?
Yeah, I don't know that you can. I mean, the Timberwolves were favored by 12.5 last night. They won by 50. So, I mean, like when you are a true title contender, this is the time of year where you're supposed to start playing your best ball.
You separate yourself.
You separate yourself. And that's not what we're seeing from the Bucks. They're hustling backwards right now. And I don't know how they get this thing back on the rails. It is uninspired basketball. They have the requisite talent that it takes, but for whatever reason, it's not coming together.
Do we think that there is any chance that this team is one of those flip-the-switch teams? We saw it last year with Miami. Miami was horrific last year in the regular season. Trust me, I watch every game. They couldn't have been worse. They get to the playoffs and they flip the switch. They go to the NBA Finals. That's asking a lot. But is there any part of you that wonders, could Milwaukee be a flip-the-switch team in the playoffs?
No. I mean, they're flipping the switch off?
That's been off already.
They're not cutting the lights off.
Wait a minute.
I mean, they might have the dimmer on right now, and then they just go flip the switch off and just cut the lights off.
I want to point out something. So when you say flip the switch, normally the conventional wisdom is to flip the switch on. But CeCe had a very literal point there that actually makes a lot of sense, because flip the switch could also be the other way too. But you can't flip the switch off unless it's on. So they can't flip the switch off because it's not. There is no switch to flip. So they only need. So now the Milwaukee Bucks, as assessed by the unsportsmanlike team, are in dimmer mode. We don't know how to actually dim the lighting because it's not flip the switch on or off. It's in dimmer mode, right? That's basically what's happening right now.
And that also makes sense because you dim it lower as the night goes on, and we're getting closer to the end of the season. So it feels like we're dimming the lights because it's about time to go home.
Yeah, the next 2 weeks is the long goodbye for the Milwaukee Bucks. They're one and done. It's a wrap. I mean, it doesn't matter who they play. I mean, right now they would play the Indiana Pacers, I think it is, but the Pacers.
Well,
no, the Miami Heat. They would play the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat are half game behind the Pacers.
No, you're right.
They would play the Pacers, right?
So if the Pacers beat the Sixers, they would play the Bucks, and the Bucks are terrible against the Pacers.
That would be a series where defense would be optional. And with the pace that the Pacers play at, I mean, and knowing who their head coach is and Rick Carlisle, I would give them the benefit of the doubt. So one and done. If they play the Miami Heat, we already know what time it is with Eric Spoelstra. If they play the Philadelphia 76ers with Embiid back healthy, you know what time it is with that. So, it doesn't matter who the draw is in the first round series. If they're losing back-to-back games to the Wizards and to the Grizzlies, knowing that they could potentially lose their place in the standings and be in the number two overall seed in the Eastern Conference playoff field, then I have no confidence that they're going to be able to beat whoever they play in the first round of the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, it's a wrap for the Milwaukee Bucks, and I don't know what that means for this team moving forward.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means for Doc Rivers' future, although I anticipate he would be back because of the contract that they gave him. I don't know what it means for Giannis. I don't know what it means for Dame. But this is absolutely disastrous. The fact that you would come into the season with the expectations being so high. I think I want to say that they were, you know, top five in terms of odds to win the NBA title this year. And for it to look as bad as it's looked over the last couple of weeks, and for it to be trending the direction that it's going, it's all bad. It's all bad right now.
Got a tweet here. Boptimus Prime tweets at Evco Radio. Have you tried clapping? Maybe the Bucks are a clapper. They need to do the clapper thing to turn the lights on. Maybe it's motion detected where we have to just wave around that the lights went off because they're not moving. I think there's another huge conversation with this ultimately, and that is Giannis a superstar? Because superstars are in sports are never given a pass even when they win a championship. Yeah, and I don't know that he deserves a pass with all
no,
this.
No, he doesn't deserve a pass because he's had a lot of influence on how this thing went down. Like, yeah. He was the one that was dangling the possibility of not extending his contract because he wanted the organization to do more. They did more, brought Dame Lillard in, and it doesn't look like it's going to work out in year one. The one thing I will say is this. This puts the spotlight on the Boston Celtics because if the number two team in the Eastern Conference looks the way that it does, then Boston damn well better make it to the NBA Finals.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.